Welcome to the Pine Row Podcast. We're your hosts, Amber
and Mackenzie. Grab your coffee and let's cover all things ranging from kids, classroom, and business.
We're here to help you navigate the feral children and guide you through a day of what play-based learning looks like.
Let's pitch the old ways of learning and get children empowered and hands-on with their own learning.
Now let's get started and calm the chaos. Hey guys, today we're going to talk about setting boundaries as parents, teachers, and caregivers. It's essential to begin teaching your children about boundaries very early on in their childhood. It means saying no to things that your children can't or shouldn't do and imposing certain consequences for not following the rules. It also means teaching them to overcome their feelings when they're frustrated.
So I always like to think about the four C's of boundaries. So be clear, confident, comfortable, and connecting. Healthy boundaries create empowered and confident children. It's not the child's decision on if they can challenge the no, but it is your job as an adult to explain the why to the no. Don't just leave it at no, because they're not going to understand why you're telling them no. But also allow children to say no and wait for their explanation. Give them a chance.
So this would look like, say Mackenzie's like, Amber, I want a candy bar, but she's three. And I was like, no. And then I just walked away.
Why are you telling me no?
There's so many whys in there. There's curiosities like, oh, maybe mom couldn't reach the top of the shelf. Like, I'm gonna be so helpful and I'm going to get it for them. Right. Or, oh, well, maybe it's because there's only red candy bars left and I actually wanted a blue one, but I mean, I'll eat a red one too. Or there's seven and mom only likes when there's eight. So maybe that's why she said no.
Right.
So there's so many things open for discussion, and that also leaves room for whys, which it doesn't give the parents a direct response on answering the why. So if you say, no, sweetie, you can't have a candy bar right now. Dinner's going to be in 10 minutes. Okay, that's a closed conversation. Mm-hmm. Yep. No, this is why.
So some examples of child-led is like, these are some things that even we do on a daily basis at preschool. Asking children if they need a hug, but asking them.
Ask their body too.
Yes.
They're still in charge. We can't just assume they want a hug from us.
Right. Asking children if you can help them do something instead of taking over.
This is a big one.
Yes.
So say they're playing a board game, Candyland, for example, and they pick up a card, they move the spaces, but it wasn't directly the correct path to a T that you were supposed to go. But all the other children were okay with the move. Mm-hmm. As a parent, are you saying something?
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Why? It's because it's child-led. It's their rules that they came up with. As an adult, we don't need to sit there and helicopter and hover and be like, well, this is the way you play it, so this is how you're going to play it.
Exactly.
If everybody's okay with it, we don't have to. And we can always ask, like, can I help you play the games? Or can I help you read the rules? And if they say no, then back off. They got it.
They are in charge. We always, always, always do at school. If it's a child's birthday and say they brought in a treat for the class, we always ask them, hey, do you want us to sing happy birthday to you? And it's totally okay if they don't want you to, because sometimes the kids don't like being the center of attention. They don't want the kids all staring at them while they sing happy birthday. And that's totally okay. But hey, if you want us to sing happy birthday, I'm pulling out my best singing voice and we're singing happy birthday.
I mean, at 27, I hate when people sing me happy birthday.
Yes. And then when they watch you open presents.
Yes. And it all started because, like, my family has always sung happy birthday. And I come from divorced parents. So I got a happy birthday song on my mom's side and a happy birthday song on my dad's side. So it was double the trauma of everyone staring at me.
Yes.
Pressure's on for no reason.
Right.
And then they all stare at you when you blow out the candles. Like, it's intimidating.
What did you make as a wish?
Right.
But children, they need kind, loving boundaries to feel secure and calm and safe in their worlds.
Because boundaries make answers predictable. Yes. And children, and humans in general, love anything that they can predict. Mm-hmm. It just makes the day flow so much better. That's why children thrive on a schedule.
So one way to help kids understand why it's important to follow rules is to see them as reciprocal. People are in charge of their own bodies, and it's not okay to touch them if they don't want you to. Just like it's not okay for someone to touch you in a way that you don't like.
And just like interacting in play. So if your child doesn't have strong boundaries in different things, say for example, a kid might want to jump on his friend's back because it sounds fun in his head, but he doesn't take time to ask the friend if he's okay with that. And he doesn't really make sure he's ready because the other kid doesn't really know what's coming on. And he jumps on there and somebody's going to end up, one, hurt. Mm-hmm. Two, it could have been prevented if we would have just taught the child to ask.
Yes. Yes.
Which, your body, your rules, even if you're mm-hmm. 3 or 4. Now, if you're soaked head to toe in mud and you're telling me no to a bath, I think we can interject and decide what is okay and what's not. But we can always be like, if that situation came up of, hey, you're soaked in mud, which is funny because we did this week in Pine Row. The kids were swimming mm-hmm. in a mud puddle. And we saw a bunch of our parents, which I know a lot of parents would show up and be like, what?
I'm not taking this child home.
And our happy little parents like showed up with the biggest smiles on their faces. Right? They were just like loving that their kid could be in a puddle at preschool. Mm-hmm. And one little girl was swimming in the puddle and mm-hmm. bless her mom's heart, just wrapped her in a towel, took her to the car. No questions asked, no cares. Like, was just loving that her child was learning.
Yes. I have an example from just our preschool children today. We have a little girl she's the kindest thing in the world, and I feel like just today we had to kind of interject and tell her that she needs to like set some boundaries because people were trying to just like take stuff that she was using, and she has a hard time saying no, and she just will give stuff up, and we're like,
she
no.
will give it up just to make the other person happy.
Yes, and it's
and to
like
avoid conflict.
And even just today we're like, no, you tell them no, you are using it and you do not have to give it up. Set those boundaries.
Like, it is okay for you to say no.
Yes.
Just because you're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to 1,000. Like, you can say no. Yep. The power of no is there. And when you say no, people should not push you or navigate you around it. Mm-mm. No means no.
Yep. Also, listening when people are talking, especially when they're giving instructions or asking us to do something or not to do something, is how we stay safe. And make sure other people are safe, too. If people aren't listening to you, they won't know what you need or want either.
So this is a big one that I see constantly with parents, mm-hmm. is that they tell their child that they're listening to them, but they have their face in their phone, their face talking to someone else, and they just like, oh, yeah, I hear you, buddy.
Oh, I'm watching. Yeah.
I'm watching. And then they're actually not. So if you want your child to reciprocate that behavior to you of like, look at me when I'm talking to you.
Yes.
Then you need to look at them when they're talking to you too.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I know the look at me's 27 times.
You get them 100 times a day.
In the last 37 minutes is going to be like, okay,
I see you.
But in exchange, you could be like, that's awesome. I'm going to finish doing this, but I would love to come watch you at this amount of time when I can finish my task.
Right.
But I don't want to hurt your feelings by not watching you right now.
And give them an explanation. Let them know, like, hey, I am finishing this real quick, and then I will absolutely watch you, or I will help you, or do whatever you need.
And be real and honest. Like, you don't have to lie to them. And stop saying 1 second, because in 1 second, you're not going to look.
Right.
Not even in 1 minute.
Right.
In 1 minute, your attention span will not be there.
Mm-hmm.
So as a parent, if you need 5 minutes, be like, okay, I need 5 minutes. And set a timer.
Yeah.
Because that's one, going to make them stop asking you every 20 seconds. Two, that's going to hold you true to your promise.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all know 1 minute can turn into never. And children catch on to that too.
They do. So when you're setting boundaries with children, you also, this is big, need to be on the same page as your partner or whoever you are parenting with, even grandparents or aunts or uncles.
Teachers.
Everybody needs to be on the same page. When we vary from time to time or parent to parent, grandparent to grandparent, whatever, it's hard for the child to know what is okay and what is not. We always advise to have clear communication, back to my C's, communication with your partner or whoever it may be. When it comes to this, before implementing boundaries with children, so they're isn't confusion, because if one person allows it and the other one doesn't, it makes for a confused and a sneaky child. Because when you say no, they're going to go to the other person.
I know me, coming from divorced parents, played that card all the time.
Same.
My mom's boundaries and my dad's boundaries were not the same.
Mm-hmm.
And if one said no, the other one would say yes.
Yes.
Sometimes in spite of the other one.
Mm-hmm.
But I can guarantee we knew how to shift boundaries from house to house. Yep.
And even with grandparents, too, like, I always get so angry when it's like, well, they're at grandma's house or they're at grandpa's house. They can do whatever they want. And it's like, no.
No, they can't.
They can't. Those are not my rules. That's not how we do things.
They can be a fun grandparent without wavering from your boundaries.
Yes.
Say you're dye-free or sugar-free. Like, when they go to some place, like, you expect them to respect that boundary.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think a big one is that, like, we see parents work so hard to limit sugar intake, and then we always see, like, a grandparent or a babysitter drop them off with, like, a straight bug juice or, like, a Kool-Aid juice box and Skittles and mm-hmm. suckers, or they're going out to the car to a treat. And we know, as parents, because we have a pretty good relationship with all of our parents,
mm-hmm.
that that child would never have a baby bottle pop sucker yep. filled with dyes and sugars yep. waiting for them in the car.
There's no way.
Or grandparents are always like, it can be our secret.
Oh, that's one of my biggest pet peeves.
No.
No secrets.
Relationships with adults do not keep secrets.
No.
Anything I do, I expect to go back. Like, for example, like when I have Avery, my godchild, whatever we do, I just know her mom, Carly, is going to know everything.
Yep.
Which is okay.
Mm-hmm.
I respect Carly's boundaries. Carly will tell me if she doesn't like something.
Yep.
And then we'll talk it out away from her. I don't think that's ever happened, though. I think we're me and Avery's more telling Carly that, yes. hey, this is okay.
Right.
Ease up.
Yeah. When it comes to learning anything, kids look to their parents for cues on how to behave. And empathy and self-awareness are no exception. If you want instructions to stick, it is important to practice what you preach.
Oh my goodness, yes. Because if you're telling me not to be rude, but then you're being rude, right. and I'm viewing it, well, guess what? I just learned what you meant.
Mm-hmm. And then my favorite thing is then the kids come to school and show us what they learned from their parents.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's the best part about play-based curriculum is that children have the freedom to come to school, and they do that in dramatic play to try mm-hmm. to figure out what it means.
Yep.
One time, I was sitting in the kitchen, the play kitchen, and I don't even know what I was doing, but this little girl comes up to me and shakes her finger in my face and goes, "You're naughty," and just walks away. I just stared at her, and I was like, oh.
Yep.
What did I do?
Right?
And she was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, what does that mean? And she's like, that you're in big trouble. And I was like, oh, goodness. But I think the big one right now that we have is I'm bored.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I like bored children.
Yes. I think one of my favorites was when I think they were playing like fast food or something like outside. They were pretending they were going through a drive-thru. And this child was like yelling at another child who was the fast food worker. And I'm like, oh gosh, they must have seen something.
It's cold.
It's cold. You're taking too long. And I'm like, oh.
Oh God.
Somebody must have seen them. They saw somebody yelling at a fast food worker.
Which in return, parents, don't sit there and cringe at yourself because those moments are going to happen.
It happens.
Like,
it happens.
I'm guilty myself as a Same. Teacher.
As a mom, I am very guilty of it.
Just take a breath. If that happens again and you know they're seeing you, take a little bit and be like, okay, I was super angry. I shouldn't yep. have did that. Children can get an explanation of behavior after, too.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be in the moment. It could even be a couple days later.
Yep.
Just be like, okay, well, you saw me do this, and this is why yes. I was upset. I should have did this instead.
That is so big. I feel like there's been like a couple times when I've had to personally do that with my kids and I'm like, okay, I was feeling very frustrated in that moment and I'm sorry about that, but this is why. And like give them an explanation. They're like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
20 times out of 10, the kids are going to be like, it's okay. Take yeah. a belly breath.
Yes. Or,
oh, I feel like this when this happens.
Mm-hmm.
Children are so compassionate that we just need to treat them as humans, too.
Yep.
We don't need to hold these poor little babies up to higher expectations than what we have for ourselves.
Yes. When kids hear parents, grandparents, whoever, checking with each other, like to see if they're on the same page before they make decisions, or asking a friend how they feel and really listening to the answer, kids are more likely to follow suit.
Oh, for sure. They feel more secure in their home life.
Yes.
Their relationship with adults, their relationship with themselves. They feel confident that they know what the heck they're doing. We're also going to link a book in the show notes that we really like. It's called Boundaries with Kids by Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend. And we also have a link to an article that we went through and read, and it just has really good tips.
It does. Very good tips about boundaries.
And it should help you not be, I don't want to say a wishy-washy parent, because we're all going to have like times where we're like, oh, this is okay, and then later it's not okay. Which, that's the best part about boundaries, is that they can change.
Yep.
They're not set in stone. As they get older, obviously boundaries are going to change, because will you let a four-year-old go out and play with horses by themselves? Probably not. Does Avery go out there now and pet her horse through the fence? Yeah, but I know she's fine.
Right.
So, like, boundaries are going to change, and boundaries are going to change between households. Don't expect your boundary to be the same as your friend's boundary or your coworker's boundary. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. What works for your family is what works for your family. You don't have to conform to a right or wrong way.
Yep.
The all or nothing mindset's out the window in 2024.
We're done with it. I'm tired of it.
Thanks for tuning in, guys.
If you enjoyed what you heard here today, we would love for you to share this podcast and leave us a review.
Please feel free to follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Pine Row Preschool and Childcare, or our website, www.pinerowpreschool.com, where we share our philosophy in action.
Until next time, calm your chaos.